Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm presenting work that is a result of the SCRI project that Dr. Chandra presented earlier. I functioned as the lead economist on this project in conjunction with my colleague Dr. Chanjin Chung and my graduate student Monica Gimiri. So this is Monica's PhD work. So a third economist on the project was Dr. Marco Palma. So today I'm going to present the second paper in the series, not the shade tolerance stuff, in the original paper. Hopefully that will be published soon. So you're aware of the background on the growing turf market, and it's the largest irrigated crop. It's one of the largest demanders of water in Oklahoma. 50% to even more, 60, 70% of the water in the summer that's put on lawns is highly treated municipal water that's often in scarce supply. So these prolonged droughts and increasing public demand for that water calls on a variety of initiatives to reduce demand for that water, and one of them is creating more drought-tolerant cultivars. The other approaches are price and non-price mechanisms. Those non-price mechanisms, like watering every other year, are not very effective, every other day, are not as effective as price mechanisms. So as an aside, I've been working with Dr. Moss in Oklahoma State to look at how people behave under drought restrictions and whether they adopt new technologies or they are able to do simple irrigation audits. But here I'll present a latent class model where we're going to segment consumers into market segments for different attributes of the cultivars that were in the breeding program. So unfortunately, there's really a lack of information about what consumers want. If consumers want it and they're able to plant it, then in theory, the producers should create those sod varieties and seed varieties. But you know that the market is very disaggregated in the sense that that signal isn't getting to the sod producers or the seed producers, because often the consumer isn't deciding what's going on their lawn. We build a new house. The builder puts whatever's cheapest, easiest, and green at the time without any consideration of the long-term effect on water demand or shade tolerance or winter kill. And in fact, consumer organizations such as homeowners associations work against that as well. They sometimes mandate that certain types of sod should be used, and those sod varieties are completely inappropriate, or the consumer isn't able to say, I'm building a custom house, I'd like this other variety. So we really don't have a clear market signal for something that's an easy, repeatable, common purchasing decision, like a bottle of Coke. This technique that Dr. Yu and I are going to discuss has been used largely in the marketing business sphere. It's discrete choice analysis. And it's used for things like products, like which kind of tuna do I want? Do I want it certified dolphin safe or not? Here in Minnesota, you can go to a lab as a student group and get paid $10 to decide whether your popcorn is fake enough tasting or not fake enough tasting. They do this stuff in a lab all the time. And Dr. Yu is going to show you that it's really hard to do that with turf. You've got to make people come out and stand on turf. So it's a lot harder to do those things. So we're trying to characterize the market so that the breeders and then the producers can better adapt to what might help market demand deal with these stressors in society. And also cities, athletic turf, and parks and recreation as well. So we did a survey very similar to what Dr. Yu did, but we did it with a much larger sample, and she's going to present a larger sample as well, an internet sample. It's kind of the crack cocaine of economics work, because you get your internet sample, you put together your survey, they do the survey for you, and you have data. You didn't have to stand out on turf. We didn't have to wake up at 5 a.m. to check a soil moisture sensor. We have life pretty easily. So in the past, Dr. Yu looked at cold season turf, and we're going to look at warm season turf. And what we want to look at is how Different groups are heterogeneous, are different. I'm going to skip that word today. They're very different based on the location where they're growing the grass, or they have their home, weather, household, and demographic characteristics. So our objective is to determine consumer preferences for stress-tolerant varieties that deal with drought, shade, winter kill, and salinity, and in addition, how they feel about low-maintenance turf, which we've shown from previous research from Dr. Yu. Dr. Watkins suggested people like less maintenance inputs. So, however, if you leave those out of any other attribute, then people don't consider them and your survey isn't very valid, so we have to put that in as well. So we looked at the five states that were in the SCRI grant. So that was Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, North Carolina, and Texas. We did an online survey in 2013 of homeowners in these five states, and we had a series of choice experiments, which I will explain, and general attitudinal and demographic characteristics. And we developed these in conjunction with our panel of stakeholders that were on the SCRI grant. And their input was invaluable in terms of asking questions that the extension specialists and also the industry specialists thought were very important to people's choices. So our discrete choice experiment is a way to look at something like these two pens. So suppose these two pens were both Bics, and one was blue and one was black. And the Bic pen that was blue was selling for $1.20. And the other one that was black was selling for $1. Now, if I chose the blue one and I paid $1.20, then we assume that that blue color is worth 20 cents. So how do we do that when we have multiple attributes for something like turf? We want winter kill tolerance, we want drought tolerance, we want low maintenance. Well, we give them a bunch of those different characteristics. We optimally design the experiment so those characteristics appear multiple times. And then using statistical analysis of the choice that they made, conditional on the other choices they didn't make, we're going to control for that blue color at 20 cents. In this case, it'll be something like shade tolerance or drought or winter kill. So in this experiment, we had, for instance, shade tolerance. The variety might have, yes, it's shade tolerant, or no. That's a very simple decision. For watering your lawn gallons per year, we had a set that said you have an average size lawn, 5,000 square feet, and you have a variety that is low water using versus high water using. The other variety might have that attribute. So given all of these choices, we have 432 different combinations of these. And they are paired without replacement with the other option, which is option B. And then we have option C. Sometimes people really don't like change. So we need to give them an opt-out parameter. If those were the only options, I would not purchase sod. So in this case, they're given an option where lost lawn to winter kill with 50-cent probability. Option A has a 40% probability compared to option B has a 20% probability. And option A has shade tolerance versus option B does not. So people consider these options and they'll pick one. They will see six different sets in our survey of these options. And there's a lot of research on how many of these things. People get better as they answer more of them, but they get really sloppy as they answer even more of them. So we don't want to give them too many or too little. So we picked six because that was about the optimum in a survey that had similar beef characteristics that Dr. Chung and I did in the past. So the data, we did about 1,200 surveys, and these are the numbers from each state. We use Survey Sampling International. You buy your sample from them. These are people who professionally answer surveys, so we know that there's some bias in these individuals, but it is an easy way to get people to answer surveys. We ask them only homeowners, so they can sample out the people that you want to deal with, because we believe apartment owners don't do well in answering these questions. So we did reach our target audience for the most part. And their mean age was older, 51 years. Household income was higher for most of these states on average. Mean lawn size was 0.45 acres, which is large. 53% female. And then there's some of these other questions that we're going to use for the segmenting. Based on what we got from feedback from our stakeholders and our extension specialists, we wanted to know, the question we threw in that was interesting is, are you a hobbyist? Do you do gardening for fun? Versus, do you maintain your own lawn because you don't want to pay someone to do it for you? Versus, both was, I'm a hobbyist and I'm cheap, frugal. And then there were others who said that other people do it for me because I am older, I just don't wish to do it myself. We also asked them questions that aren't going to be in the segment, in the segmentation, but we believed might be important about whether they would be interested in a USDA certified turf, and 73% said yes, and 82% said they preferred a pesticide-free lawn. So the model, I'm not going to bore you with too many of the details about the model. It's a conditional logit in the sense that someone will dominantly pick option A, seeing the options in B and C, C being no change, and all of those different attributes are in the model. And what we're going to do today is a latent class model. And what this allows us to do is see whether we can segment. If we just estimate their willingness to pay with those parameters, which we did in our first paper, it showed that people prefer low maintenance, and then they prefer drought tolerance, and then they prefer shade tolerance. So our previous paper was used to justify the SCR project that we have garnered for this year under Kenworthy. This paper, we wanted to see if we could assume that people aren't just one massive monolithic blob and they have heterogeneous preferences. And so we used a latent class model where we clustered them into groups. And we used some variance between the groups and some parameters like R squared, AIC, and BIC to put them in groups. And we determined that two groups was optimal. And these two groups are vaguely categorized. We could do better if we had put more demographic variables in, but we don't have those. You never know, hindsight's 20/20. But what we have are two groups that are loosely categorized as a willing household consumer and a reluctant household consumer. So the willing household consumer has higher income and they are under 45 years of age. And they also say that they are hobbyists in the sense that they like to garden. And our reluctant household consumer is a person who favored the no change option and didn't choose the others. These individuals were over 45 years of age and they chose the no change option. So why does this matter? Well, if you're an extension economist and you want to reduce people's use of water, then you now know that the lower income, older individuals are less likely to change their lawn or to change their type. Now, if you're a breeder and you want to breed something in order to sell it to a sod producer under patent, then your sod producer is going to say, who wants this? Well, higher income people who highly value their lawn and how it looks as a gardening hobby are going to be the segment that you're going to market this to. And if you want to market it to older people, you're going to have to find a hook to do it, and to poorer individuals. So lower income households are going to need to be persuaded that this is going to give them a savings. Now note, in our survey, we had that 20,000 gallons versus 60,000. If you monetize those amounts and use them in your marketing, they could be persuasive, but certainly not in Oklahoma, because the price of water in Oklahoma City is so outrageously low at 273 per 1,000 gallons, that you could overwater your lawn every month and it will only cost you $60. Well, dinner at Red Lobster costs more than that. So why would I rip out a lawn and put in a drought-tolerant lawn when it's not going to save me any money? The cost of doing it is more than the savings from the water. So maybe if you want to market some of these turf varieties in Oklahoma, you could get them with the drought tolerance, but the second punch is you're going to have shade tolerance or something else that they care about, because the water savings money will not matter in Oklahoma. So here is the data in a much more palatable form. Now, I realize that these price per square foot amounts are really, really high, but to the end consumer, that may be installed price. We didn't put it that way to them. This was the purchase price of the sod, but installed, individuals are going to consider those amounts. So let's look at the water requirement, low versus high, 20,000 gallons versus high. We have 90 cents per square foot for the willing household consumer versus the reluctant household consumer. And you can see across almost all of the attributes that the willing household consumer is willing to pay more, except for some of those characteristics like winter kill. And you can see here that in order to have a cultivar that might have all these other characteristics but has more maintenance, you're going to have to compensate them, make it cheaper for them to take those cultivars. So you certainly don't want to market it as a high maintenance cultivar. So you can see that saline tolerance is important to the willing household consumer, but not to the reluctant consumer. And maintenance costs for these hobbyists, low versus no change, those aren't their predominant concern, because the willing consumer, remember, is a hobbyist. They're not afraid to get their hands dirty. And so in sum, this is a way to really segment your market and strategize how you're going to create those turf varieties to meet demand and to sell sod producers on adopting your variety so that it ultimately will make it to the consumer market. So we have two vague classes, but I still think that they're very relevant. You have one that's the HGTV watching home hobbyist gardener, high income, wants to adopt new things. And then you have the people who have lower income, are, I hate to say 45, my student kept saying they're elderly. And I said, back off, Monica, because I just entered that category. So I said, take that word out of the paper. There's certain groups of people who reach a certain age where they aren't really willing to rip everything out. So the demographic changes do matter, and these results can be used for marketing, targeting for municipal people to also target programs for turf adoption. And hopefully that municipalities will start to look at adopting different types of turf and educating consumers as a way of reducing demand rather than just simply ripping something out and putting something in that might not be appropriate for the landscape. Any questions?
We'll have to wait on questions. Thanks a lot, Judy.
Thank you.